Christian Parenting.
This is Be Love, Do Good Podcast, and I'm your host, Christy Hayes, mama to two, founder of Be Strong Story, and author of the children's book, The Lunchbox Note, a true story of how a simple lunchbox note that said three phrases, be strong, protect the weak, love everyone, changed our life and created a mission for our family. Join us for weekly conversations that inspire all of our families to live out true compassion, kindness, and what it looks like to be loved and do good in our communities. It may take us out of our comfort zones, you guys, but I promise it will put us on a path to see others, love others, and quite possibly change the world. Hey everyone, today I'm excited to give you my conversation with the most relatable, hilarious Jamie Nato. Jamie is a blogger, she's an amazing mother, she's a speaker, she's one of my all-time favorite parent Instagram influencers. If you just watch one story of hers, you will be like, oh my gosh, she is hilarious, but she also makes you feel like you too can do this parenting gig. I love how she gives us permission throughout this entire podcast to not do all the things, but just do one thing at a time. And we talk about how before we can really parent our kids to have a relationship with God, that it starts with us. And she gives us some of these simple tools to use and to experience ourselves. I think you're going to love this conversation. So please welcome Jamie Nato. Hey, Jamie, thanks so much for being on our podcast. We are so happy to have you.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
One of the things that we'll be talking about today is just this intentional parenting and how we have these character traits that we want our kids to learn and leave the house with and how we can parent those in our kids. But at the beginning, if there are young parents who are listening who have like babes in like diapers and right now they're just in like survival mode. And so the thought of that intentional, you know, they're just surviving. So let's start from the beginning for you. When you were first a parent, you have older children now, but when you were kind of in the babe mode, I know you have four kids. What did that look like for you? Were you even thinking of parenting on purpose? Like, what did that look like? Or when did that kind of come into play for you guys?
Yeah, I think your goal when your kids are really little is you're keeping them safe. You are keeping them alive. You are providing structure and food. And the whole thing around those little tiny years is safety and for them to know that they have a place that is safe for them. That's so important. So I think really intentional parenting starts with you being intentional with your spiritual life. So what that looked like for me with tiny, tiny kids, I could hardly stay awake to read a devotional. I mean, I probably had four devotionals just laying around the house that I had read one page in, and it was the intro, you know? So don't shame yourself for that. But the best thing that worked for me, because I was so tired, when I was up folding laundry or, you know, in the car, I would play a sermon. I would have something teed up for me to listen to. You guys have podcasts now. When I was a young mom, I didn't have that. And
we're like so old. I'm like, what did we have? No, I don't even remember. I didn't even have an iPod.
Walked up and down the neighborhood in snow barefoot, you know, backwards. So
we had nothing. You guys have everything.
Now you guys have diaper genies. And the
oh my gosh.
Spaceship that rocks your baby to sleep. And we had none of this. So, but just really putting some intentionality, the simplest thing you can do is get the truth in your ears. And soul care, basically, what you're doing is saying, instead of scrolling Instagram and feeding this comparison, or instead of watching the 75th news show and feeding my fear and anxiety, I am going to put truth in between my ears. And I think that was the best thing that I could do to set me up for success in parenting my kids later on, was to care for my own soul and for my own self. And that will spill out on your children. I really do believe that, especially as you move into those bigger years where you want to be more intentional with your language and you want to be you have all these ideas of what you want it to look like, I think maybe just start with yourself and start with something super simple, like not spending so much time on Instagram.
Yeah, that's right there. Preach. We're done. Good job. I mean, that right there will, like, I think free people up so much, just to know that it's, they don't have to do all the things. Like, at first, it's just kind of taking care of them. And then as they get older, there's some other tangible things that, that they can do. So in the different seasons as you went through as a parent, did you ever, like, write anything down to say, okay, here are the five things or character traits that I want my kids to know before they leave the house? Or here is the picture of how I want to parent. Was there any, like, you know, goal or picture for you that you're like, okay, this is what I want, this is who I would love them to be or to know at least? You know, I was a youth pastor for years, and even though we have these incredible parents who did all these things, I mean, kids make their own decisions. And so I don't want anyone listening thinking like, I did all that, or I'm going to do all that, and then my kids still made some bad choices. So again, we can do as much as we can, but that choice, you know, and their relationship with God and others is their own. But was there like a picture, or did God give you a picture of what you wanted those kids to know and to learn? Or is it something that's kind of just gone over time?
It's, again, I'm not very structured, but someone had told me like a catechism phrase, which I didn't know it was called catechism. I grew up in a very charismatic, free church, you know, so I don't know any of this catechism stuff. Although I did go to Catholic school for a little bit, and I worked for an Anglican church. So I believe it was in the Anglican church where they had liturgy. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is so beautiful that they rehearse the gospel back and forth to each other.
Yeah.
And whereas before I thought, oh, this is, you're just rehearsing a rote thing that you don't even believe. How can you just say that?
Right.
And you're not even thinking about it. And when I would go, because I worked for this church, right? So I have to go to this church and I have no clue about Anglicans. They have a similar structure to Catholics at points in church. Someone had rehearsed a catechism question, which is, what is the purpose of life? And right off the bat, they said back, the purpose of life is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Mm. And I thought, where in the world did you get that phrase? So I said, what is this? First of all, because it impacted me greatly. Mm-hmm. When I heard it, it was the truth, right? So deepest calling to deep in that moment. And I thought, that's actually really life-changing. Mm-hmm. Who told you that?
Yeah.
And they said, oh, it's the catechism. We grew up saying these sentences back and forth to each other. And my parents would ask us at the dinner table. And I had little kids at the time, but big enough to, you know, have language. We were talking back and forth. Probably like first and second grade, you could start phrases really early as kindergarten, you know, like it's pretty easy if you can get it down to their level. But we just started practicing it on the way to school. It was so easy. I was in the car. I knew the question I wanted to ask. And so we started with that one question. Mm-hmm. And then over the years, we kind of built that where they can understand a little bit more and memorize a little bit more. And there was a point where we were saying that back and forth to each other, and I thought, they probably don't even know what glorify means. So we added that. What does glorify mean? And they say it back, to make God big and I'm small.
Oh, I love that.
You know, so I don't know. Well, what is enjoy? Do you know what it means to enjoy God? So I made up a question. What does it mean to enjoy God? And it means, it means to believe that Jesus is better. You will enjoy God if you believe that He is better and He is your best hope. So it just went like that, and it built. And through seasons of my life that I was dealing with, more questions came. Is God mad at me? I was struggling with, is God angry? Is He mad at me? Is He ashamed of me because I keep sinning?
Yeah.
And so we just would do that back and forth. No, God is not mad at me. Jesus took all of God's wrath. That is a life-changing.
Yeah.
That's a life-changing fact when your kids will make bad choices. It's not if, it's when. When will they make a bad choice? And when will they say, I no longer can come to God? And I want them in their darkest of moments to say, have this light bulb moment where they say, is God mad at me? And they go, oh my gosh, no, God is not mad at me. Jesus took all of his wrath, you know? So I don't know when that will happen for them, maybe in college, maybe maybe now. So I hope that it's a point of salvation where they get to turn and make that something that's not just memorized, but in their heart.
Sure. It's interesting. I came from probably a similar, you know, background and have really dived into, I had a mentor who helped me dive into this contemplative. So reading, you know, Richard Rohr and Henry Nouwen and some of those that, do bring that just, I don't know, it's like this depth and richness that I'm learning and loving. And I'm not like a very contemplative person. Like if you knew, you know me, people are like, she's on the go all the time. She's like, you know, all, it's not like I am, people wouldn't be like, oh, Christy, you are so meditative and peaceful, you know, all the time, even though I want to be. But this has helped me, you know, really think about some of those questions that you're talking about and helping lead my kids into those. One of the phrases that I always say on this podcast is it's more caught than taught. And so I think when our kids see us doing these things and when we're anxious, and I mean, all of us have been anxious this past couple years, when they see where our hope comes from and our peace, and even when we are anxious and kind of sharing that with them, I think that's kind of the beauty of it, which I really love. One of the things that I wanted to kind of ask you, as your kids got older, so you kind of did this, you know, repeating back the catechism, which I've heard, and I'll link all these things to the show notes, because I think those are beautiful things. As your kids are young, you're forming this foundation, right? You're teaching them who they are, what their purpose is. I mean, that's the question we all have. And when we're 45 years old, what's my purpose in life? You know, we're struggling with it. And if we know that as a kid, it looks different in different ways for different personalities and gifts and talents. And that's so fun to teach our kids too. But at least they have that foundation. And so as you started to teach your kids this foundation, what are some things as they got older and they have a little more independence, how are you purposefully parenting in this season and helping your kids still have these eyes for others and this compassionate heart?
Yeah, I think it comes down to what is important to you. And I think for some people listening to this, you will need to write it down. You will need to go into a kind of contemplative like stage of what do I think is important? I think a lot of people want like the easy button. Just give me the list. Like, tell me what to ask my kids and I will ask it to them every day and they will respond, you know? And I think parenting is too nuanced and children need to be parented too differently, even inside of a family, you know? So you're going to have to do the work of figuring out that for yourself. But for us, you know, I have a teenager now and, you know, they remember the things that you say over and over again. Mm-hmm. They do remember how you act, but they do remember the things that you say over and over again. My dad used to say, persistence wears down resistance all the time. And I used to just roll my eyes so hard at him, you know, in high school. And now I say it all the time because my dad said it to me whenever I was going through anything tough. And so I think your kids just remember things that you say over and over again, because if you say those things over and again, you must believe them.
Yeah.
If I tell my kids that I love them so much, they are going to eventually believe that. And so I think it boils down to those things that you say over and over again. One of the things that we say, Lane went to camp this for 2 weeks. You know, it's a long time to not see your kid. And when he leaves, when he goes anywhere, when he starts school, when he does anything new.
How old is Lane now?
Oh, he is 15.
Okay.
So that's what happens when you get married and get pregnant on your honeymoon. So you have a 15-year-old. And I know, I'm like, oh, that worked out. but before he goes anywhere new, I say, hey, make sure to find and include people. Make sure that you're looking alive. Look alive. Look alive. We say that a lot in this house. Like, look alive, which means, like, be present. Look around. Mm-hmm. I want you to find the people who don't have a person. I want you to invite them in, basically. And so I say, I love you. And really, I say, I love you. And I say, include others. Find a way to include others. I think that's love in action. I think it builds a lot of compassion in children to make an event not about themselves.
Yeah.
I think adults are missing this skill.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I see that, when I see a missing skill for adults, which is that you go to a party and you walk into a room, or you're going to have to go on stage and read the announcements for church, or, and you make it about you, and so you get nervous, mm-hmm. and you're sweating and you're anxious. And really my trick is look alive, look around. This isn't about you. Take so much interest in everyone else mm-hmm. in the room. It takes so much pressure off yourself, and actually is super enjoyable to not make an event about you.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's these things that I find important, and I am up in my head a lot. I do spend a lot of time, especially as an introvert. I have a lot of time on my hands. And so I don't like to be doing so much that I'm so busy. It's very exhausting for me. I have an autoimmune issue too. And so I just can't. I can't be up and running all the time, but my brain literally never stops talking to me. So, you know, I have time to think about this, but anyone has time to think about this. What is something, a pain point in your life mm-hmm. that you wish you would have built a skill for as a child or a teenager?
Yeah.
And how would that have impacted you today? And I think parents being very intentional, and parents caring so much about what their kids are looking at, talking like, hanging out with, mm-hmm. you know, what are they thinking about? These conversations are so, so, so important. And parents have thrown in the towel. And I think, you know, it's just a disaster out there. As an adult, I'm looking around and thinking, like, how did we get here? Like last year, looking at all the relational strife, just the mm-hmm. disunity, the inability to hold our tongues, the just joy to run into a fight. As a believer, I think we should be a people marked by peace. We should be
yeah.
a people marked by not anxiety. We have the answer, and yet we acted a fool. And so, you know, it's like
we acted a fool.
We dumb.
And we're still acting a fool.
Oh, so I think if you don't fix it now, you don't fix it within yourself, it's hard to do that in your own family. So it starts with you.
I love that it starts with you. And so I think that's huge for parents. Like if they feel overwhelmed, like, oh my gosh, I got to teach my kids all these things. Like it just starts with you. Like kind of recognize what's going on in your own heart and start getting that right. I think we hear, you know, self-care all the time, but I think it looks differently. And I think it is so important that we're getting our hearts peaceful and right so we can express that to our kids. I know I don't have to tell you that Christmas is coming, and fast. And depending on where you are in your parenting journey, this can be an exciting thing or an overwhelming thing or both. But here's the deal. Christmas time doesn't have to be an exhausting survival mode time of year. It can be a season of renewal as we anticipate what really matters, the birth of Jesus. It's for this very reason that Christian Parenting created a brand new resource for parents just like us. It's the Read, Ask, Go interactive Advent devotional for the entire family. And we'd love to put one in your hands today. Created to be used every day from December 1st through the 25th, the Read, Ask, Go devotional experience gives you and your family dedicated time each day this season to read the scripture, ask some questions, and go serve your family, your neighbors, your world. If you're looking for a way to push the easy button on a meaningful spiritual resource for your family this Advent, this is it. So grab your copy of the Read, Ask, Go devotional experience before they're gone. Just visit cpadvent.org to get your copy today. Again, that's cpadvent.org. Now that your kids are a little older, were you able to kind of have those real life conversations with them when you saw people acting a fool, when you saw this dissension? How are you keeping? I feel like you do a really good job. And I'll probably have you on to do a whole other podcast about talking to our kids about hard things. You know, technology, pornography,
yeah.
All those things. So let's just do another podcast on that. But how are you keeping those conversations open so that you can say, hey, this is what happened in real life, and this is not what we are about. And
How are you doing that? How are you having those intentional, open conversations with kids who might not want to open up that way or talk to their parents about, you know, certain things? How are you fostering that?
Well, I mean, the car is your best friend. If you have older kids, the car is your dream machine.
Yep.
In the car, you are locked in together for at least 15 to 30 minutes.
Right.
And I volunteer to drive a lot because it's like I get time. It's undivided attention. I ask my son to put away his phone sometimes because I, you know, oh, we need to have a conversation. Would you mind putting your phone away? And, you know, so that's how I get intentional with my son. But, you know, my family, my husband is Filipino. And so my kids are, you know, Filipino. And having the race conversation was a very difficult one because my kids felt it and they were experiencing it. My teenage son was experiencing racism at school and just heartbreaking to have those conversations. But not having the conversations doesn't help anything. And it doesn't provide any direction for their anger or their fear. And so I am here not to squelch that conversation and to squelch their emotions. I'm here to make it safe for them to discuss these things and give them a pathway, like a really healthy pathway of how to digest what they experienced through the lens of the gospel, through the lens of what do we believe. So it's a really unique opportunity to dive into these things, these issues that mean so much to them. And maybe, you know, you aren't dealing with racism with your kids, but you're dealing with, you know, someone got a boyfriend and all they're doing is spending time with their boyfriend, or someone's really changed this past summer. I don't, they won't even be my friend. They're not talking to me. I feel left out. These are such good conversations to have with your kids about literally being relatable. I remember when I got left out in that, in your same grade, let me tell you about it. I remember when I had a best friend who was my best friend and then stopped being my best friend over the summer. It hurt my feelings so bad. And just making it relatable, crushes. We act like, oh my gosh, our kids don't like, you know, they're not having crushes. We like to pretend like our kids aren't interested in the other sex, right? But you're like, in fourth grade, you know, I told my daughter, I'm like, honey, in fourth grade, I had a crush on, his name was Keats. I had such a crush on him. I liked him so much. And she had lit up, like had so much freedom to say, oh my gosh, I have a crush on so-and-so too. And I'm like, yeah, that's just like a normal part of like, you're getting older. Normalizing feelings, emotions, and just creating that conversation in that space where you can easily, because right now I am building a relationship with my children so that when they go to high school and we have these very difficult conversations about pornography, about relationships, about, you know, what do we think you should be doing or not doing with your privates before you get married? Like, what, you know, you can't run rolling hot with just saying like, hey, by the way, this is what you should do, and this is what God thinks, I think, and
peace out.
It's going to be weird. So instead of that, we're building this relational kind of currency, and then because I have an open policy with my kids and a conversation, they can come talk to me about anything. We're going to talk about hard stuff in high school. We're going to.
Yeah, I think that's, I think opening that up early. You know, my kid, I have a son that's 13 and a little girl that's 9, and just opening those conversations, we call them, awkward uncomfortable conversations with mom. And, you know, Holden and I, same thing in the car, but we love to read. And so we'll just lay by each other, and read, and we'll have some of these conversations, and it's kind of a joke. Like, I'm like, okay, we're going to have an uncomfortable conversation with mom, but it almost has opened that where he knows he can talk or say things. And, you know, in different kids, he's so introverted and so private and like, I have to dig. Whereas like Carter May is like, mom, blah, 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 you know? And so having those different kids too. But I love what you said earlier when you just talked about, you know, having those open conversations and then what you're kind of telling them on the repetition, look alive, like, look alive, be present. Those things, you know, we say the phrase eyes wide, light shine. And so for me, it's every day, eyes wide. It just literally means before you sit down at the table, before you go out on the playground, before you hit your warm-ups in gymnastics or soccer, you are literally scanning the place. Yeah. And you're seeing if anyone needs something. And then if they do, that's your chance to for your light to shine. Yeah. And my kids have moved around enough where they've been the loner, you know, before. Yeah. And so they start to know what that feels like. And so building this empathy, you know, with your kids, which is hard when they're not in a circumstance. So that's why I love to put my kids in vulnerable places, you know, not like unsafe, but I'm saying like with the vulnerable where they're, it is uncomfortable for us and it is different and people look different and are different and we're building that like relationship and kinship. That's when I start to see my kids, you know, start to open up. And so, and even having conversations about those things, like, yeah, maybe that was hard today, or, you know, being with this person, how'd that make you feel? You know, all those different things. I think parenting is such a beautiful journey. It's like the hardest thing, but it also is, I feel like I love to coach. I used to coach. And I feel like sometimes like every, like there'll be like this coaching moment. I'm like, yes. I'm like, this is like, it feels like I'm on the basketball court and like this, you know, I love like sayings and, you know, I'm getting to coach up these kids and it's just, it's so fun. And it's also so daunting. As we kind of finish up, I'd love for any advice that you have for a parent who is maybe listening to this and feels like they're literally drowning in kids right now. Like they're drowning, and even the thought of doing something intentional, whether it be listening to a song or verses or even having their own time with God, feels just so like overwhelming. What advice would you give to them?
I think if you are feeling overwhelmed, I just want to validate that. I have been there and it is overwhelming and very physically exhausting. Yeah. So validation station. And the other thing is like when you need to meet yourself with a lot of grace and we don't change from shame. So saying that I'm a bad parent and I'm too exhausted and I haven't done a good job with my kids because I've had all these humans, so many needs, and I'm a bad person because I can't do them all. And that's called shame. Yeah. And that no real change comes from shame. Real change comes from love. So start meeting yourself with a lot of love, a lot of grace, and a lot of truth telling, which is, it is true, I'm in an exhausting season, but God has gone before me. Telling yourself, you know, preaching the gospel to yourself is the best thing you can do in exhausting situations, because you do not need to be agreeing with those lies that you're already a bad parent. It's already too far. They're already too big. They're just too little. You're too tired. You know, we reject some of those things and we say, while some of those things are true, I am really tired. I am going to meet myself with a lot of love and grace, and it's going to give me the ability to change, and just crying out to God and saying, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. I ask every day for God to give me wisdom, because he says it's a free pass. And he says people aren't asking for it, and so they don't get it.
Yeah.
And if you would just ask me, I will give it to you. And I think, I'm not trying to over-spiritualize that, but I think we have a lot of unwise people here because they are in their own wisdom, trying to act in their own energy and in their own flesh, and it doesn't work. So when you act in Christ, and when he gives you wisdom, and when you act out of his energy, that is where you see a lot of exciting spiritual change in your own heart, and that will overflow onto your children. Mm-hmm. It will. So maybe not immediately, but just start with something small, like telling the truth to yourself. Like when you look in the mirror, you stop saying I'm ugly. You say, actually, God made me just the way I am. He loves me and accepts me and approves of me just the way I am right now. Those simple things, when you're shutting down the lies, you start to pay attention to the lies. And from those, you build what you tell your girls. That's how I built what I talk to my girls about now.
Yeah.
You know, because I struggled with like self-hatred, essentially.
Yeah.
And trash talking myself every time I walk past the mirror. So, you know, I think it just starts with you. Yeah. Ask God for wisdom, and he is faithful. He has He loves his children and he wants to give you good things and he moves towards you in your suffering and in your hardship.
I love that. And it takes a burden off us, quite honestly, like to give it to him. I am the girl who's like, I'm just going to do it in my own strength, you know, like, and I don't even realize I'm doing it until it bites me in the butt later. Like, hey, you're actually not strong enough to do this.
No, you're actually FYI. Really exhausted.
Actually, you really stink at this by yourself. So just so you know. Jamie, thanks so much for being on today and just imparting just little nuggets of wisdom and just helping us all know that we can start somewhere when it comes to purposeful parenting and intentional parenting. And I'm going to put all the links and the ways to find you and anything else that you want to add before we get off of encouragement or anything else, I'd love to add it.
Well, I think moms and dads have such a sweet, sweet role in society and in a family. And God gave you your exact children for a reason. And we all feel weak. I just want you to know, we all feel not strong enough for the job. We all feel not ready for the job. I felt ready for the job when I didn't have kids and I was amazing. I was an amazing
so
parent.
Amazing.
So good at it. So good at parenting other people's kids in Target. I'm like, they're bribing them. Oh my God. And then, you know, you have kids and you're like, here's a sucker. Do you want a stuffed animal? Do you want, like, I mean,
here's the phone.
Yeah. We all are not feeling up for this. And I just want you to know it can be done. Doing the littlest things mean the biggest things to children.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Jamie. I appreciate it. So our Be Love quick tip for the week, and let me remind you what that is. It's just basically when you are inspired by the conversation, we're going to actually put what inspired us into action. We're going to tangibly do that this week. So one of the things that Jamie and I talked about is that the relationship with Christ, it starts with us before we can really teach it to our kids. So I encourage you just to carve out a little bit of extra time. Maybe it's just 5 or 10 minutes in the morning. Maybe it's putting on a podcast or worship music while you're doing laundry and putting your headphones in. Maybe it's going on a walk. I don't know what it is, but maybe it's just figuring out how you can soak in God's goodness in your life a little extra this week. Again, thank you so much for being with us. I love this community and I love hearing the stories of how you're being loved and doing good in your world. Hey everyone, thanks for joining us for another episode of Be Love, Do Good podcast. And please let us know if you're doing some of the Be Love quick tips that we're talking about. Today we talked about protect the weak. If you're bringing some people into your home or you're going to serve, we want to hear about it. So go to our socials at Be Strong Story on Facebook and Instagram. Share what you're doing, how this has inspired you, and share our podcast with your friends. Leave a review. It's all things that in the podcast world means a lot. Every review means a lot because we don't want to be here if we're not helping people take action to loving others. So help us know how we can do better with that. Thanks so much for being a part of this community. We truly love you. This is like my favorite thing in the world to do. So thanks for letting me do it and be in your ears and in your hearts today.